Welcome to the home of Blood, Sweat, and Words, a podcast that empowers writers. My name is Joanne Carson. I'm a fiction and nonfiction author, blogger, and podcaster, and I'm trying to make sense of the writing world today. My weekly show is current, relevant, and above all, honest. Join me, and we'll talk it to the bone. That's what Blood, Sweat, and Words is all about. From Vancouver Island, Canada. This is episode 3 on Blood, Sweat, and Words, and I'm your host, Joanne Carson. Do you ever wonder where writers get their ideas? Today, I'm talking with J.C. McKenzie, who is a high school math and science teacher by day and an urban fantasy and paranormal romance author by night. She's the creator of the Amazon best-selling dark fantasy saga, the Karis series, set in post-apocalyptic Vancouver. She's the author of 9 books, soon to be 10, and is an unapologetic science geek, which brings me to today's topic, science geek to author. How you doing, JC?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So is it fair to call you a science geek?
Absolutely. It's fair to call me a science geek. And as you mentioned, I'm very unapologetic about it. I have friends who mute me on Facebook because I share too many Facebook science posts, and that's okay. I'm okay with that. And not only do I have a degree in animal physiology from Simon Fraser, but I love science. So I think it's a fantastic subject.
So when did you first become so passionate about science?
You know, you're probably a better person to answer this question than I am. So for listeners who might not know us, you are my mom. And so it's probably very hard for you to call me JC. I think right from infancy, really, at a young age, I brought you home a dead sawwit owl and demanded that you fix it.
I remember that.
Yeah, and my sister and I went and caught bullhead from the river out in the bay in front of us and brought them home, and those poor things, we dissected them, strung them up, and did all sorts of unauthorized scientific experiments on them on the back deck and stuff. So I just have always had a fascination for understanding the world around me and for understanding things that I could see and hear, and just wanted to find, you know, explanations for that. And I think it had a lot to do with growing up on the Haida Gwaii and being surrounded by all that beautiful nature and that environment and having wonderful parents that really cultivated that and cultured that desire to understand within me. You know, didn't hold me back or make me feel weird that I was collecting fish and bringing them home. And so I think that all kind of adds to it, you know.
Yeah, I have to say, when you came home with the sawwit owl, I just didn't know what to say. My mouth dropped about a mile, and I kept thinking, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, what do I say?
There was no obvious causes of death. It was perfectly preserved. I didn't understand why it was dead.
you were pretty young. Yeah, that was a fun time. So what things in science interest you the most?
To be honest, all the weird stuff. I just, you know, there's that saying out there that weird is a side effect of awesome, and I have embraced that quote because it gets me through the day, because I just love all the weird things, like, you know, that that geckos lick their eyeballs to keep them moistened. Like,
really?
Yes. Ducks have corkscrew penises. No, you're never going to look at that duck the same way in the park. You know, that how snakes move, how, you know, you think that big cats like the lynx are really good at smelling, but in fact, they're actually rely more on sight and hearing and just things like that. Like, I just find things in nature fascinating, and the things that make other things in nature different than humans or different from what we consider normal is what really fascinates me. Because I want to know why. Why do they do that?
And so how does this affect your writing?
I tried to put it all in. And what's nice about the genre I've picked, paranormal romance and urban fantasy, is that I get to create my world. And I think that's why I gravitate towards the shifters so much, is and that I have these humans that can transform into animals. And then I get to bring my passion for animals and animal physiology, whatever degrees in, and bring that in and weave it into my stories. So it comes into my character creation. So how, what kind of shifter my characters are. I'm currently writing a series about a raven shifter. So, you know, ravens are really, really intellectual creatures. They can mimic human speech. They also really like shiny things. So I have all that woven into my character's creation and her, you know, personality tics. It also comes into play with my world building. So with my Kara series that's out and finished, it's a post-apocalyptic. But what caused the apocalypse really was Earth's defense system finally just having enough of humans being terrible. And so I have the section, I don't think I'll read it, but basically the idea was that natural disasters and viruses were Earth's natural defense system. And I got the idea from The Hot Zone, which is written by Richard Preston. It's a book that I make my biology students read. Most students love the fact that I make them read the first bit of it because it's very gruesome, and I have a couple of reluctant learners and readers that don't appreciate that task. But it's a fabulous book, especially the intro, which goes over how the intro character gets exposed to Marburg virus, which is related to all the Ebola viruses. And Richard Preston makes a fantastic argument in his book about how viruses are Earth's natural defense against the human infection. So if you think about how our bodies have white blood cells that attack an invading pathogen, we could look at viruses as being the antibodies attacking this human infection. And because with these massive outbreaks of Ebola and these incredibly deadly viruses that come out, like the Lassa virus, Ebola Zaire, Ebola Sudan, they all come out when we go into areas that don't have a lot of human population. So that was his argument, and I just thought that was fascinating. So, and my geek brain just could not handle it. It was like my mind was blown, and I just loved it. And so I took that, threw in natural disasters as well, and basically said, yeah, Earth woke up and said, I'm done. I've had enough. And she just obliterated pretty much 90% of the human population with these viruses and natural disasters, which led to the exposure of all these supernatural beings, because of course they're not as vulnerable to viruses and diseases and natural disasters. So that's how I created my Kara's world and how I brought in my science geekness to
it all. And it worked really well. And are there other passions in your life that spill onto the page?
I don't know if you would call them passions so much as just my life experiences. Like, for example, my story that's coming out this fall, it involves a lynx shifter, and she owns and operates a cafe. And I used to work in a cafe. I used to be the barista. I used to make the cappuccinos and the lattes and all the specialty handcrafted beverages. So I bring in my life experiences from that, because you're always should write something of what you know. And I feel like I don't know what it's like to be a nurse, but I do know what it's like to be a coffee barista. Like, I do know what it's like to be a waitress. So my other series that I'm working on right now, my main character is a server, and she has a lot of waitress pet peeves, and I've had a lot of fun putting those in, because I started to hate people when I was a waitress, but not in a bad way, just in that you get kind of sick of the same thing always happening, and they have to remind yourself that this customer doesn't know what the last 50 customers did the exact same thing. But I get to bring that all in too. So I don't know if that's passion so much as just life experiences, but I do bring in my past jobs that helped put me through university. And I like doing that. I think it makes it more authentic.
So do you have any other suggestions for new writers about how to make their writing come alive?
I think that I kind of covered it. I think bringing in your own passion, my passion for science and my own life experiences are crucial. I mean, it's important not to make your character you. I'm very, very careful not to make my characters me, because that's kind of weird, because you're putting them in really weird situations and stuff. But so I'm not saying make your character who you are, but give them experiences that you are familiar with or know something about. I mean, I could research till I'm blue in the face what it's like to be an orthopedic surgeon, but at the end of the day, do I really understand the nitty-gritty details of what they go through? It's not really going to read authentic to the reader, whereas I could have a character who was a teacher or who was a waitress or who was on a fishing boat, because I was a fisheries observer for a bit there. It sounded like, I know what it tasted like, I know what it smelled like, I know what it felt like, I know all those sensory details that you can't really get from researching from a book. So I think that's really important for readers to draw in on their own personal experiences writers. And some writers might feel that they don't have personal experiences to write. I mean, who wants to read about a barista? But I do. So I do. And I think that you can make it interesting, right? So, I mean, I've never been an owner or operator of a coffee shop, but I have worked in one and I have known owners and operators of coffee shops. So I felt like that was a good avenue to go in. So I think my challenge is going to be, after I've run out of my current series, what occupations am I going to give my current? I'm running out of my past lives and my past jobs I've worked. So,
well, I think people really relate to those jobs, and
yeah, I do.
And you still use your imagination a lot, because of course you haven't been some of the characters you're creating.
I have not been a multiple shifting supernatural being. No, it's on my bucket list.
It's
I don't know what's like feelings. Yeah.
So what's happening in your creative life right now? What are you working on right now?
Right now, I am working on two things. I am working on the finishing touches of The Good Griffin, which will be out on November 13th, which is a very special day in our household.
I like that date.
Yes, Joanne Carson's birthday, people. So, also my release date this year for The Good Griffin. It's a short story. It's around 40,000 words right now. So it's not like a thick novel, but it's not like a novella either. It's kind of in that middle zone. It's paranormal romance. I always tend to write my romances a little on the shorter side. A little bit less plot, a little bit more romance, you know. So it's coming out. And so it's it features the hero is a griffin, and he's not exactly good all the time. And there is a lynx shifter, which is the object of his affections, but he thinks he hates her, or he thinks she hates him, and she really wants to hate him, but she can't because she loves him. And so it's all about that kind of dynamic of where they're both trying to kind of hold themselves back, and then this hex hits the town. It's a shared world, and it's called That Old Black Magic, and this other character from someone else's book releases this spell, which causes everyone to forget what's holding them back, forget their inhibitions, and just go for what they want, go for their heart's desire. And that happens in our story. So that's
Hex. Yeah. That can lead to so much story. That must be
not
wild.
Not just hex appeal. Yeah. Our tagline, which cracks me up. So it's Melissa Snark's shared world. It's her creation, and it's been so much fun working with her and the other authors in the group. And my story features her villain. So my hero is her villain. So he's very, very bad in her story, but he's very good, my. Most of the time. So that's what I'm, one of the projects I'm working on. I've already written it. I've gone through. I'm just kind of adding some extra scenes, and it's going to go to beta readers, and then it's I'm going to be putting up the buy link soon, because that's fast approaching. And then I'm currently working on my urban fantasy series that I'm finished the first book for. I am trying to shop it to some publishers. I've already tried shopping to agents, and I'm finding it really very resistant. I'm getting a lot of form rejection, which is the unpleasant part, but it's part of the industry. I don't want to necessarily go through the same publisher I went through with my Kara series, just because I want to broaden my readership, and I think going with the same publisher would get me the same readers, which I love and appreciate, but there are probably are going to pick up my book. I want to try to get out to even more readers, so that's why I want to go somewhere else. But if not, I will self-publish it, or maybe go through my original my first publisher. And yeah, so that's what I'm working on. I don't really want to say much more about that one, because it's kind of still...
Oh, you got me intrigued. I love this hex that's going to make them all get very lively.
Very lively. And a lot of shenanigans going on.
So where can people find you and your books?
You can find all my books are available on Amazon. My first book, Shift Happens in the Kara series, is only available on Amazon because it got bought out by Amazon from my publisher. But all the other books in the Kara series are available wide, so all the major online retailers. You can find me on social media, but if it's easier, just go to jcmckenzie.ca and you can find all the social media links. It's jcmckenzie.ca. And yeah, that's where they can find me.
And before you go, just two more questions. What are you reading right now? Uh-oh. Maybe I shouldn't ask.
Well, because it's almost the end of summer, which is terrible, I am reading Foundations of Mathematics 11.
Oh, no.
my slow torture of students in September. So I'm very, very unfun right now.
And how is the plot?
Sorry. The plot is terrible. I still remember the physics textbook I got first year, and I loved it because it actually talked about the physicists and their personal lives, and it cracked me up because I never knew any of that stuff about them. But the math foundations textbook is a little dry.
Yeah, that sounds a little wanting. Yeah,
right, fermented. Yeah.
Okay, so on to something more lively. What is your favorite cocktail?
My favorite cocktail is the mojito. I love drinking the mojito. I think it is the perfect summer drink, but I also drink it year-round. one, I love white rum, and I love the mint in it, and I love the lightness of it. You can drink it with or without the rum. I prefer it with the rum, but it's great, and it has a bit of sugar in it, but you can, instead of having the lime, you could add any kind of squishable fruit. So I like raspberry mojitos, I like blueberry mojitos, I like the lime mojito. I just like I don't like watermelon mojitos. That to me is just wrong. It's a perversion of the watermelon in my opinion. But other than that, I love pretty much every flavor of mojito you can get.
Well, we've got your recipe on the in the show notes. So people can try it, and they can think about you when they're drinking it.
Try my squishable fruit mojito recipe. It's very unoriginal. It's very basic. But that's what I like about it, too. It's not, you don't have to stick it in a special canister and shake it three times and swirl it and do all this crazy stuff. You just squish stuff in the bottom of your cup, add some ice, and throw in your soda water, and you're good to go.
And it tastes good. Okay.
And people might just think you're drinking flavored water in public.
They might.
Yeah.
So do you have a final word?
I don't have a final word. I just like to thank you so much for inviting me onto your podcast. It's very exciting to have one that's dedicated to the publishing world and writing today that's not, super dated and stuff. So I really, really appreciate it. And
JC McKenzie, you are most welcome. And that brings today's episode to a close. Next week, I'll be interviewing Abigail Owen, an author and an entrepreneur. And the topic is authors helping authors. Thanks for listening. Now it's your turn. What do you think about today's topic? You can leave comments on my website or email me directly. I'd love to hear from you. If you want to know more about me, check out my podcast website, bloodsweatandwords.com. You can also sign up for my weekly newsletter, which contains writing tips and information about upcoming episodes. You get a free book if you do. Now, if you really, really enjoyed the show, and I hope you did, consider becoming one of my patrons through Patreon and help me pay the podcasting bills. Information is in the show notes and also on the Patreon site. I leave you today with a quote from Albert Einstein. Creativity is intelligence having fun. And that's a wrap. See you between the lines.